As we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Most kind, wonderful, loving God, your Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit, of a perfect relationship and unity, and God, the love that you have poured out in us, I just ask that you would wrap this room totally up in your hands, that you pour out your Spirit to each one of us, that this message, it's your message, that you say and speak whatever you want spoken. And certainly, God, that we hear individually what you have for us. Because this message is something that you are giving, and I just thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. God's story, and we're going to talk about the aspect of baptism. It may be something a little different than you're thinking. In the RCL this month, the story of Jesus' baptism is a part of that story. So, did Jesus need to be baptized? Did he have sins that he needed to walk away from? No, not at all. But he chose to be baptized. So it has some importance for him to have went to the effort and the process of being baptized by John. When times get tough, we all need hope. And in reality, we all need hope even when times aren't tough. When things are just clicking along really well, we still need to have hope. We still need to have that as a part of who we are in our life. Today's text is from 1 Peter 3, verses 18 through 22. What is interesting, this particular section is by scholars and writers have all kind of said the same thing. This is probably the most difficult to understand or translate of all passage in the New Testament. And so we're going to go through some highlights, some things that commentaries and different ones have put together. And I've got some of a little bit of me thrown into this as we understand and talk about. But in this section, we're going to talk about, first of all, Jesus's ministry. And in verse 18, we read, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." We can even put in Jesus' death or Jesus suffered. Some translations use the word suffered. So Jesus invested every part of him in this. When it talks about to bring you to God at the end of that verse, essentially, we have been given an audience at court or at the throne of God. We didn't earn it, but Jesus brought us to that point where we literally have the opportunity and are at his very throne. Jesus resolved once and for all the problem of humanity's broken relationship with God. You know, we think about and go back, clear back to the Garden of Eden. What was that like for Adam and Eve? The awesome relationship that God walked with them, talked, visited, and then it was broken. But Jesus has gone through his death and resurrection and ascension assures us of a future with him. We don't have to worry about where we fall or where we land. And in reality, no one else or nowhere else could this happen. It only could happen through Jesus, a perfect life sacrificed, died, resurrected, and ascended to include us. Jesus did not suffer and die because of his own sins, but because of ours. References 1 Peter 2, verses 22. We can read in his life, he didn't deserve to die. But because he did, he took our place. Jesus gained for us all a place in God's family as his beloved children. Adopted into God's life and love from Ephesians 2, verse 18, chapter 3, and verse 12. As a result, we have access to his marvelous grace to meet our daily needs. In Romans 5 and verse 2. Do we get up in the morning and say, I'm a child of God. I've been adopted into his family. Today is a day that I get to spend with the one that has made it all possible for me. I have a future. I have today because Jesus has given that to me. And I know every day is another day, is another day, is another. And it's so easy to forget how vitally important our relationship is with Jesus. A second point, Jesus' proclamation from the second part of verse 18 through 20. He was put to death. His flesh, that human life, was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, the resurrected Spirit, the moving in his life, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through the water. And this is the one that really is a challenge to explain, to translate out. Spirits in prison. What was that referencing? There's a number of different scholars that have different opinions, but the majority tend to think that was the fallen angels, the demons. Satan and his demons. Jesus' message to these imprisoned spirits was probably an announcement of his victory over Satan and his demons. Effectively, he is saying, I win. I have paid the price. And you are no longer in control. You are no longer ruling. From Colossians 2 and verse 15 and 1 Peter 3 and verse 22. The third section or point that we make under Jesus' ministry. Jesus' resurrection in verse 21. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from your body. This isn't a bath. You know, when you were baptized, there was not a bar of soap right there. This was not the point. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The human spirit was united with his now glorified human body. And he lives in a human body glorified in spirit today. Baptism separates us from the old life into a new life with Jesus. When you boil baptism down, it's taking the old through the waters of baptism into a new life with Jesus Christ. It is in this resurrected, glorified Jesus that we have living hope. Without Jesus, is there hope in your life? Is there hope anywhere? What would this world look like without the presence of Jesus Christ? We look and see how heinous and awful it is in so many areas. What would it be like without Jesus' presence? This living hope references 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4. We should think of salvation as a relationship, a connection, not a mere event or one moment in time. We were created for relationship, for oneness with God and each other. That is what we were created for, to be in that connection with Jesus, the Father and the Holy Spirit, but to be in that connection with each other, to support one another. It is our continual sharing in Jesus' life that saves us. That's part of our day-to-day existence, is sharing life that Jesus is giving us and where he is leading us, what he is kind of moving us through. We can trust him. It is the risen Christ who has given us that life, and it includes his power to live for God and serve him in ministry daily. From Galatians 2 and verse 20. A fourth section of Jesus' ministry in this section, Jesus' ascension in verse 22, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. If you boil it down into today's language, everything is in submission to Jesus. Everything. In a sense, that's what this verse is saying. There isn't anything that doesn't fall under his review. From heaven, the ascended Jesus is ministering to us. Those things that happen in our life aren't coincidence. Maybe a divine moment that you find yourself in, that's not by accident. Opportunities to share Jesus with other people is not an accident. And we always like to say, heaven's up and hell's down. Heaven is where Jesus is. We exist in that realm. The ascended Jesus is ministering to us and with us and through us as our high priest. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, 7 through 20, and verse 25. And he's also our advocate, the one that goes before and speaks about, hey, you know, Kirk's down there and he keeps messing up, but that's okay. I want you to understand, he doesn't want to mess up. He's trying, but he keeps doing things. That advocate is Jesus that is actually saying, I'm taking care of the situation. From 1 John 1, 9 and 2, verse 2. He prays for us. How awesome is that? Do we consciously, daily, once a week, once a month, annually, think Jesus is praying for me? And I hold a big mirror up here when I speak like that, because many days go by and then it's like a cold rush of water hits and like, oh wow, Jesus is praying for me, and he prays with us and offers our worship, our prayer and praise to his Father on our behalf. He can articulate that so perfectly, much better than we can. In our prayers, we give those and he can elevate and speaks what from in our heart that may not even come into words. He prays for us. In this section, we're going to talk a little bit about Noah's ministry, because he was referenced in this section. In verse 20, God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight lives were saved through water. you go back to the Greek, the number 7 is completion. The number 8 is a new beginning. And how many people walked out of the ark? 8 people. It's a new beginning. The old is gone. The new is there. Peter in this section is wants them to remember Noah's faithful example in serving God. He wants us to recognize the faithful example in serving God. Even when it was tough, and even when ministry seemed to bear little fruit. Indeed, what counted for Noah was not success. Only 7 people heeded his warnings, but he was noted for his faithfulness. I want you to think about for a moment, as I was kind of thinking, the ark. And a year or two ago, we were able to visit the ark in Kentucky, down below Cincinnati. This is a big boat. It is a big boat. And they built that as close to what they could put together, the rendition did look like. And you walk in, and this thing is huge. How long did it take to build that? 120 years. Is there anybody in here that has lived longer than 120 years? No. Do you even know anybody that's lived 120 years? And I'm not talking about reading about them, but actually, no. I don't think there's anyone that 120 years Noah was working with these folks and preaching and talking about. And they're coming to work, in many cases, coming to work on the ark, and they're building a boat in the desert. There's no lake, no ocean, no sea, anywhere around. So was Noah just a paycheck in a lot of ways for some of them? Did they believe what he was telling? Obviously not, but 120 years he ministered to people while the boat was being built. And when it came time to get on the boat, 8 people. Noah and his immediate family. Was that successful? 120 years of ministering for 7 people? That's not a great ratio when you think about bringing people to the relationship, to the understanding. But what was Noah noted for? His faithfulness, his consistency. It didn't matter. He was going to do what God called him to do. Build the ark and minister to people. He was faithful and consistent in that. And I'm sure, just knowing human nature, there were days it was probably tough to work with folks. To maybe they started to grasp it, but then went off the rail. How often do we look at and recognize it's not about the numbers? It's not about what I'm doing. It's about being faithful to what Jesus is calling us to do. We'd love to have a whole lot of folks come in. But we, as was mentioned in the beginning and reinforced in the offertory, we keep doing what we believe God has called us to do. We keep being and realizing, and our point is to be faithful to what he has led us to do. And I am grateful that we see that, the offerings show that, the consistency of involvement show that faithfulness. Another connection to Noah is a type of Christian baptism. Noah and his family were saved by faith because they believed God and entered into the ark for deliverance. But guess what? Baptism does not save. Jesus, through his death and resurrection, is what saves us. Baptism pictures Jesus and what he has done to include us in his resurrected life. That's where the saving comes in. Baptism took us from the old, through the water, to a new life in Christ. Peter is reminding us of our baptismal pledge to encourage us to be faithful to our commitment to Christ. Does anyone remember their baptism? Do you remember where? Do you remember if there was anybody there to celebrate with you? Do you remember what you were asked? And do you remember what your answer was? I had to stop and think. I was a lot younger then. But that pledge is still there. We would be faithful to our commitments to Christ, including ministering with him even in tough times, like Noah. And none of us have been in tough times preaching for 120 years. Maybe 120 days, 120 months, I don't know. But we've called to hang in there, called to be consistent, to be committed to Jesus. And then the last aspect of this section is the ministry of Christians today. Expect opposition. Different translations expect suffering. Jesus went through a lot of suffering for us, but that didn't displace the fact that we may have some suffering to go through too. We can expect people to resist our efforts to serve Jesus. It could be anything from, how stupid are you? How can you be so idiotic to follow something like that? Or, do you really think Jesus is going to save you? Do you realize how messed up you are? That's out there. That's a part of the reality that we may face. Maybe not in those words. Maybe you have family that they don't think too highly of going to church and being committed. That's all part of that suffering or opposition. And that's the resistance that is coming from all angles. Sometimes you see it's theirs, other times you're caught off guard. But Jesus is always there. Seeking faithfulness, not success. And the best example that comes to my mind is Grace Communion, continuing to be faithful to what God has called us to do. Have we seen a lot of success? Yes. If we define success as numbers, maybe not so much. But I got to tell you, when you participate in one of the day camps here, or if you're involved with the Bible club, and those little kids come up and hug, and you can just see their need that they want, the affirmation that you care about them. And I've said many times, and you've heard it, some of the prayers they put in the God can really grab your heart. But you pray for those. Is that success? I don't know how else you could call it. Success working with a small child, those young people. We may never see what the result of what we're doing right now, the day camps, the winter camp, the Bible club, we may never see the result of that. But that seed is being planted. It is there. And they know that there's a Jesus Christ that loves them very much. We seek faithfulness, leaving the growth of numbers to the Lord of the harvest. It's his job, not ours. Our job is to just be consistent, to be faithful, to trust in what he is leading us to be encouraged by Christ's victory. How awesome is that? Without it, we're not even probably in this room. We may not even be married or committed to any relationship. We may not have a lot of friends. I don't know. But because of Christ's victory, Jesus' victory over sin, death, and all other obstacles is pictured in our baptism. There is a new beginning in the life of Christ. Can you remember coming up out of that water, taking a deep breath? Or if you've watched somebody being baptized and that almost euphoria that comes from that. And I've told this story. It was a man that was a member here. They moved away. He was baptized in the ocean. This man is a very thin person, didn't have a lot of body fat on him to help for warmth. And he told me, he says, "Kurt, that water was cold." He says, there were nine of them. I still remember there were nine of them being baptized. And they had a big tent up on the sand on the beach. He says, but we waited out. And the two guys that were baptizing had wetsuits on because they were out there for an extended time. He said, I got to where my knees, and I thought, I can't go any farther. I am too cold. And he literally was almost shaking as he was telling me the story. It was so vivid to him. He says, but I went on. And he says, when I came up out of that water, I was not cold at all. He says, I had an inner warmth in me that I will never forget. What an awesome picture of shakingly walking out into that water to the point they put him under the water, symbolizing the death of the old person, and brought him out into the new life of Jesus, and no longer was cold. He said, man, did we party on the beach. It was awesome. He said, everybody was experiencing something very similar. A new beginning with Jesus Christ in his life. Water baptism pictures our baptism in the Spirit, which unites us to Christ. Baptism is important. We know it's important because Jesus actually chose for himself to be baptized. Our baptism identifies us with Christ, giving testimony that we have broken with the old life. And in Christ, we live a new life. Maybe your baptism was many decades ago. Maybe the memories are a little faint. I don't know. I know one of the things this week, as I was putting some of this together, is trying to remember my baptism. What that was. What was said. Who was there. And it gets blurred in my old memory, but I can still remember the joy. I ask that maybe you ask God to help you remember some key points. I know my wife was baptized in a swimming pool. The guy, the minister that baptized her came in with waders. She says, I can still remember, he's a big man, tall man. And he came out and went in the pool in waders, tucked his tie in his shirt, baptized her, tied out, got his tie out, took his waders off, and he was headed to a class. That was a memory that she has shared with me a few times. The act of baptism is a pledge to God that we will follow him no matter what the difficulties are. Every one of us has experienced difficulties. Some are experiencing maybe life-challenging difficulties right now. Maybe facing activities or our health not being what it once was. Do we quit? No. We follow Jesus no matter what the difficulties are. Participating actively in the life we have in Jesus will often bring difficulties, suffering, challenges, possibly even persecution. But be encouraged. Yeah, right. That doesn't fit in that sentence. But be encouraged. Jesus is far greater than any difficulties we will face. We don't have 120 years that Noah did with those folks. But when you stack up however many years you have on this earth and the challenges that you've had to face or will face compared to eternity with Jesus, today's stresses eternity. This is nothing. It's all we know right now, and it's a challenge. But forever with Jesus Christ, participate actively in that life. Share in Jesus' victory and his faithfulness. He wants us to be there with him. Hang in there. Trust in God no matter what. If you would join me in prayer. Father God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, as we've kind of gone through segments of this, and it's your words, your scripture, we know that. We also know that our life can be filled with challenges, stresses, joys, exciting times. And God, it is so easy to get into a routine and just live our life. And I just ask that you would help each one of us to go through and reflect on the glorious new life that you have brought us into through Jesus Christ. God, help each one of us to listen to you, to hear your words, to hear what you have planned for us. And let's share it. God, help us to hang in there, to trust you no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen. And there's a couple of scriptures that I want to read. I ask that you just listen. The cup, and this was from 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? It's an opportunity to participate with him. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of the one spirit. He has called us to be united to him with each other. The baptism from the old to the new, the life we now live is such beyond glory that we can't even fathom. And yet, he has provided an opportunity to come and receive the bread and the fruit of the vine that he has blessed us with. Both the literal elements at the table, but the spiritual elements of his body given for us, and the life we have now with him. is unbelievably awesome. Join me in prayer. God, I do ask that you would bless the elements at the table. You have blessed us with Jesus. And God, I just thank you for the continued faithfulness that you have instilled within us. And God, that we can look to you and know that whatever the outcome, it is yours. And we just praise you and thank you and ask again for the blessing on the elements. In Christ's name, amen.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. I owe all to you.
Let's close our service today with prayer. Please join me. Father, as we close our service today, be with us as we go back to our homes and our lives. Guide us every day and in everything we do. Guide us to be your servants, joining you in your work, bringing people to understand how great you are. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, fill us with joy. Help us to teach Jesus to others. Jesus died for us, for our sins. It is Jesus that makes it possible to approach you, Father. Thank you so much, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'll close with 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. The grace of God of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Have a great week.